Blog Talk Radio.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and I greet all of you, the listening audience, as well as my distinguished host and our panelists, and our greeting words of peace. As-salam alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you, sir. Ramadan Kareem, and welcome to Put On the New Man, our live study group. Excuse me, and allow me to present, not introduce, because we all know him, our beloved student minister, my brother, my friend, student minister James Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. And of course, again, Ramadan Mubarak. I wish to extend our love and greetings to our beloved listening audience. Again, assalamu alaikum, and in this holy month, Ramadan Mubarak. And for those of you who are listening who may not be familiar with these Islamic terminologies, number one, assalamu alaikum simply means God's peace be unto you, or peace be unto you. And Ramadan Mubarak means blessed Ramadan. Blessed Ramadan. And Ramadan is the holy month of the Muslims, wherein we fast during the daylight hours. Let me start off correctly before I get into anything. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, with the help and assistance of Allah, the Most Merciful, we thank Him for making His appearance known to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the Great Mahdi. And through him, we raised up the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as a divine gift and a present, really, one who lined his mind up with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Messiah. So he is now a perfect representative of him and the little Messiah in his own right, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I refer to him as my personal redeemer. He is that to me, and I'm quite sure to many, many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of others who are the beneficiaries of his divine faith and strength. And standing up on that fateful day and committing to reestablishing and rebuilding the work of his father and ours, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we thank Allah for him, and we invoke the names of these men because without them we would have nothing of any value whatsoever to say to anyone. We credit and praise Allah always for whatever gifts, talents, skills, or anything of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we may share, to whom we share it. We say all praise is due to Allah, but we know Allah uses agents. He works through vessels. And when he's dealing with the community of men, as the Quran teaches us, he sends us a man. This is a significant time in which we live. First, I want to say that we are happy to announce that we will be joined, inshallah, in the second hour, or nearing the second hour, with our beloved brother and student regional representative, student minister Tony Muhammad, who we anxiously await these microphones, that he may share with us some of his insightful understanding and expression of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's wonderful and timely message series, The Time and What Must Be Done, in particular, the 29th installment, God's, and I'm going to quote it correctly, Allah's incomparable mercy, His incomparable mercy. I don't want to get into that particular part of it. I'd like him to be here to join us, so that he can set the tone and lead the way. So for the first hour or the next 45 minutes or so, we want to talk about this particular period or stage of Ramadan and our observation of this holy month. We are in the seventh, or rather we are in part 23 or part 24 of the reading of the Quran. Some of us are in the last remaining 7 days, and some are in the last remaining 6 days, depending upon when we started. And we certainly are not going to strain at gnats and endanger ourselves of swallowing a camel, because some started on one day, some started on the other. The fact is, we started by Allah's mercy and grace. But I wanted to focus on, while we are waiting the arrival of our beloved brother, this last 10 days of our Ramadan fast and Ramadan observance. According to Islamic scholarship, the last 10 days are observed as potentially within those days when the revelation of the Holy Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. No one knows the exact time and date, but the scholars agree that it was within the 10-day period, the last 10 days of the observation of the holy month, and specifically one of 3 days, not that we know that it's the last 3 of the 10 or the middle 3 of the 10 or the beginning 3 of the 10, and not having that definitive knowledge, according again to Islamic scholarship, many, many, many of the Muslims who can afford to do so, and some who can't, will spend the last 10 days at the mosque or the masjid so that they will not miss out on the magnificent blessings that this night of power is reported to bestow upon the observers of the holy month. It is written in the Holy Quran in the 97th chapter or surah entitled Al-Qadr, or the Majesty. And it reads as follows, and of course, we seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, surely we revealed it on the night of majesty. And what will make thee comprehend what the night of majesty is? The night of majesty is better than 1,000 months. The angels and the spirits descend in it by the permission of their Lord for every affair. Peace it is till the rising of the morning. Again, it is written also in the Holy Quran in chapter 44. Give me a moment, I'll get right there. In the third verse or ayat, it reads, "We revealed it on a blessed night. Truly, we are ever warning." And that blessed night, of course, is not definitively identified. However, the scholarship again agrees that this is within the 10 days, the last 10 days of our Ramadan fast or our Ramadan observation. It is revealed in the month of Ramadan. Brother Maulana Muhammad Ali, in his magnificent book entitled The Religion of Islam, writes, "Here this night is spoken of as the night in which the Quran was revealed. And it is further stated that it is the night on which angels and the spirits descend. It is also mentioned in chapter 44 where it is called a blessed night, Laila Mubaraka, by the book that makes manifest the truth. We revealed it on a blessed night. Truly, we are ever warning. Therein is made clear every affair, full of wisdom, a command from us." This is the Holy Quran, Surah 44, verses or ayats 2 to 5. Now, let us consider that. The night in which every affair is made manifest. And, of course, according to our study of the Quran and the revelation through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as it is stated, whether it is as small as a grain of mustard seed, and even if it's tied to a rock, this is the Bible, and thrown into the bottom of the ocean, yet Allah will bring it forth. And those on that day, I'm not quoting it perfectly, but principally and contextually, those on that day will say, ah, my book, it did not leave out anything. Not anything. And this is why, dear family, we, the nation of Islam, are so blessed, so greatly blessed, because we are the people of Malik Yawmuddin, the master of the day of judgment, the master of the day of requital. And as such, he's more than a judge. He's a master, which means that out of his mercy, even though the book contains everything that we have done, both good and bad, no matter how great or how small, he has the power either to give us the full weight of consequences of our deeds, or he can give us just the taste of the consequences of our deeds, or he can erase all of our evil deeds and our sins and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. What a magnificent blessing. The Bible is replete describing the purpose for which the Mahdi, or the Messiah, or the Son of Man, has come. He didn't come, according to Scripture, to condemn us for our sins. He came to save us from our sins. He knew what he would encounter. He knew that we were a people robbed and spoiled. He knew that we were, as the Bible says, a peculiar people. He knew that we were a people walking in darkness. He knew that the light shine or would shine in the darkness, and the darkness would not receive it not. He knew that he would come to his own, and his own would receive him not. He knew that we were hard-hearted, hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious, according to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, easily led in the wrong direction, hard, so hard to be led in the right direction. He knew all of this. So the purpose for which he came was not to condemn us in what he already knew, but he came to exonerate us. He came to save us because he knew that as sinful as we were, as evil as we are, he knew that we were only acting out of the mind of Satan, who imposed his mind, his will, his ideals and his ideas in the minds and hearts, or on the minds and hearts of the people of God. What a magnificent Savior. What a merciful and beneficent God. Yes, God, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. Oh, what a magnificent blessing, Muslims. And those of you who are Christians, oh, what a magnificent blessing to you, because he came to save you as well. You say, Well, I'm already saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I certainly won't argue. Maybe you are. And then again, maybe you are not. Do you understand what being saved by the blood of Christ means? Yes, I know there is a ritual in Catholicism and in Christianity wherein what is called communion, you drink some wine or some grape juice, more often than not it's wine, and you eat a little piece of bread, and this is in reference to Jesus telling his disciples in the night of Passover, in the night before he departed. He said, drink this, this is my blood. And then he says, and eat this, this is my body, according to the scripture. Well, Jesus was not trying to get the disciples involved in cannibalism. This is symbolism. How are we saved by the blood of Christ? The blood, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is the life of the body. It is the life of the human being. You can find out everything about the physicality of the human being by the examination of the blood. But in symbolic terms, since blood is the life fluid of the body, it is also indicative of or relating to the lifestyle of the human being. And if we are to be saved or are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then symbolically it means, are we living the life of Jesus Christ? Do we have the integrity of Jesus Christ? Are we following the example of Jesus Christ? And what was Christ's example? His example was, I can of myself do nothing, but whatsoever the Father command me, that will I do, and what he bid me to speak, that will I speak. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that he became so perfectly in line and in submission to the Father that he became one with the Father. And when some of the disciples or one of the disciples asked him, Master, when will we see God? He stated in rather a chiding way, he said, I have been among you all this time and you have not seen God. He said, when you see me, you see the Father, because I and the Father are one. And so how do we become one with God? Well, by following the example of Christ, yes. Additionally, it is being so in submission to God, so obedient to his rules, regulations, his statutes and commandments, his principles, that we become one with him. We actually die so that he can come alive in us. And therefore, Paul is reported to have said, I die daily for the Lord. Well, what do you mean, Paul? Dying once is sufficient for the cessation of life, I would think, and I'm sure you who are listening would agree. But what Paul meant is that each day a part of him dies so that another part of Jesus Christ could come alive in him. The dying that Paul is referencing is the secular shortfalls of character, the sins, the inclination toward disobedience. Each day he improved in his obedience to God. Each day he died as a secular being clinging to the material world and became more spiritual. And each time and each day that he became more and more spiritual, his old man, which is the carnal mind or the carnal man, died so that the spiritual man could live. Put on the new man. That's the name of our subject. And this is what it means. And so, as we approach or are in these last 10 days of the night of power, the night of power, and Allah's blessing descend upon us, and the angels descend, and since it is as 1,000 nights, each night bringing bountiful blessings to the participants, to those who are in observance of Ramadan, to those who are in observance of and obedience to the laws of Almighty God Allah. As we are in this night, we thank Allah for his coming, July 4th, 1930, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, as it is written of him in both Bible and Quran that he would come. We thank him for raising up the Messiah, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. We thank Allah for raising that one who is referred to as the first begotten of the dead. Beautiful language. Whenever you use that designation first, the indication and implication is he won't be the last. And so, the Messiah, the long-awaited Jesus of your Bible, the Messiah of the Holy Quran, he is with us, not dead, very much alive. I know that many of you who are listening know that I'm referring to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you say, well, those poor people, they love him so much that they just refuse to accept the reality of his demise. No, we would accept the reality of his demise if his so-called demise was real. But the fact of the matter is that he is very much alive. And when I say very much alive, I mean also alive in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but I'm not stopping there. I'm talking about his physical life in his own person. He is very, 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 very much alive. And not only is he alive, he is in power and he is backing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. How could such a man, one singular, solitary man, stand with only the weapon of the truth that proceeded out of his mouth like a two-edged sword, condemn Satan in his citadel and at his root, and root out and tear down and expose the synagogue of Satan, the most powerful enemies anyone could have against them, and still stand boldly, and they attack him over decades and threaten him and all of what they say that they will do if he does not cease. Yet they cannot touch him. They cannot stop him. They cannot even slow him up. I ask you, dear family, rationally thinking, who's backing him? How could such a man stand like that? Who's backing him? Who's empowering him? Who gives him the faith that when he speaks, you cannot identify the slightest trepidation, the slightest sign of trembling, the slightest, there's not one scintilla of an expression or indication of fear. Who's backing him? Let me hasten to say that it is the Mahdi, Allah God in person. It is the Messiah, he whom the Mahdi has put over everything and everyone in the universe with the exception of himself, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. They are backing him, and they are strengthening him, and they are protecting him. I know that the FOI and the MGT surrounds him wherever he goes, and we might think, or those of you who observe this may think, well, they're there to protect him. Yes, we are. Make no mistake about it, but in reality, he is protecting us. Because the scripture says, touch not the messenger, or touch not my anointed, and do my messenger no harm. Touch him, don't touch him, except maybe you kiss him, kiss the son, lest he be angry with you, and you tarry only for a little while. Man, this is beautiful scripture. You just did not know that it was talking about one from you, a black man from among the former slaves, because you don't think much of yourself. It is not good, according to the Holy Quran, that we should think more of ourselves than we should, but it is equally bad to think, and maybe even worse, to think less of ourselves than we should. White supremacy has caused us to think less of ourselves than we should. But thanks be to Master Farad Muhammad, Allah God in person. Today we can say, not with boastful pride and vain self-anointment or appointment, but rather with the confidence and knowledge that Almighty God Allah has come and freed us from the shackles of ignorance, the shackles of white supremacy and black inferiority, by teaching us the knowledge of self, who we are, who God is, and who the opponent of God is. Ye are all gods, we read in the scripture, though we did not necessarily understand or believe it. We are all gods, children of the Most High God. We didn't know that until the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, black man, you're not a nigger. You're not a queen. You're not a buffoon. You're not a Negro. He said, you are the original man, the Asiatic black man. You're the maker, you're the owner, you're the cream of the planet Earth, the God of the universe, and I'm not leaving you out, my dear sister. When we talk about the man, we can't talk about a man without talking about you, because without you, there would be no man. All this magnificent power or night of power. I think I'm feeling some of the power right now by the grace of Almighty God Allah. No, I don't know when it will descend, when it will be. I pray that when it happens, Allah, out of his mercy, will grant us the full benefit of Laila al-Qadr, the night of power, or the night of majesty. Thank you for allowing me these words, dear family. Brother Minister Tony Queen Aziza shared with me that he wanted you to call him about 8:45.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you happen to speak with him at all?
No, I did not. No.
Oh, okay. Well, I did. He sent me a text. And inshallah, God willing, he will be joining us at that time. But I tell you, dear family, I feel so wonderful in this month of Ramadan. The spirit is just magnificent, and I'm sure that you feel the same way. So I'm going to stop talking. I want to hear some comments from my sister. You know I love to hear comments from you, dear sister. Would you like to say something?
Well, I tell you what. Well, I want to wish everyone a happy Ramadan, first of all. And, you know, we have challenges, and I have been challenged a lot these couple of weeks, but all praise is due to Allah. I am standing, and I'm still here, and I'm not going to be defeated by whatever challenges come my way, because I know that struggle is ordained. So,
That's right.
No, so I don't have any comments, but I wanted to know from you, Brother James, that we have about 3 or 4 questions already in the chat room, and I was wondering, would you be interested in taking those questions at this time?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly would, by Allah's grace. And if you don't mind, though, when Brother Student Minister Tony is contacted and he's on, I want to just quickly relinquish the microphones and the time to him. So I'll answer questions with the help of Allah until he gets on. So if that's agreeable, yes, ma'am, certainly.
Yes, sir, no problem. Okay, we have a question from Joshua. And Joshua wants to know, is the white race the extraction of evil from us, as the tree was the extraction of evil from God?
Okay. Just to be clear, the tree, is he referencing the tree that was found in the midst of the garden, the one from which the serpent beguiled Eve to eat of the fruit, or the fruit thereof? Is that the tree he's talking about?
I can only assume so, because he asked the question, but he's, he's here.
Okay. Well, if that is the case, brother.
He said yes. He said yes.
Praise be to Allah. You are right on it, Brother Joshua. Yes, the Caucasian is the physical extraction of our weaker self. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been teaching us in the last few installments of the series, The Time and What Must Be Done, and Why Did God Make Devil, he taught us of Yaku, one of our great scientists who was born with a determined idea, and that idea was to ultimately get out of the black man, the black people, that brown or weaker germ, and through that extraction, make a people that were the complete opposite of the black man or the original man. That those people would be the embodiment of evil. The very ingredients in their making was lying, stealing, murder, and how to master the original man. And just as the product is the sum total of its parts, the Caucasian is the sum total of the ingredients that went into him in the process of bringing him into being. So I think extraction is a good word, dear brother. So you're right on it, Brother Joshua. and the tree, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, actually means a body of knowledge. A body of knowledge. And that body of knowledge bore fruit that was mixed with truth and falsehood. And so the fruit, or the apple, the Bible never says an apple, but the fruit thereof was that which Eve took part in, the knowledge, the Bible says the knowledge of good and evil, but in reality, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, it is doctrinal, it is dogma, it is falsehood mixed with truth, that Adam, in the darkness, the early darkness of his disposition of mind, which inclined him toward disobedience to God, took part in, began to follow this particular body of knowledge. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the name Eve, being affixed to the woman, actually means the descending of the evening or of the night, a time of doubt where light is mixed with darkness. And whenever we begin to disobey God, it is as a result of doubt that has filtered in terms of the necessity of obeying God. We begin to question, even as children question their parents. And our parents say, you know, if you do this, these are the consequences. If you do that, these are the consequences. Well, we believe them at first, but after a while, doubt sets in and we begin to wonder, I wonder if that's really going to happen to me. I need to check that out. Adam was of that mindset. This is why the Holy Quran says he slipped. He slipped. And, you know, when you slip, you may not necessarily fall. Sometimes you do. But a slip is a misstep. And Adam took a misstep and began to doubt what Allah God was saying or had commanded him. So he partook of disobedience to God, being beguiled by deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil fair-seeming. A serpent. It is referenced as a serpent because a serpent has a serpentine kind of indirect, circuitous movement. It goes around things. You know, it doesn't go straight. It's not straightforward. And the serpent, if you look at the medical field, the symbol of the medical field, it is the symbol of a serpent pulling itself up on an upright tour. I think it's called a tour. It's like a staff, you see? And the serpent represents that inclination to disobey God that comes up right up out of us, dear brother, that says, come on, you can do that. It's all right. Think about the fun it's going to be. Think about how good it's going to feel. And ain't nobody got to know. Ain't nobody looking. You spent your life as a good and obedient man or woman. Surely God can forgive you for this little slip. You owe it to yourself. See, that's a serpent. And so the Quran says he whispers evil suggestions into firm resolutions. And a whisper, symbolically, is akin to or tantamount to a hiss. You know, when you whisper and a hiss of a snake, they're kindred. They're of the same thing. So you write on it, Brother Joshua, and my humble opinion. And again, search this out as I and suggest and encourage all of you, as I am not the teacher, I am a student of the teacher by the teacher's permission and mercy. So search out what we say. I hope we encourage study of the word of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Prove all things, Paul said, and hold fast to that which is true. Thank you for your question, beloved, and may Allah continue to bless you. Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm in the process of calling Brother Tony now. Let's see if he's on.
No. He's not?
I don't think he's ready. I don't think he's ready because I think he hung up.
Okay.
That might be an indication he's not ready. Let's take one more question, and then I'll text him and see what his status is. We have a question from Lynn, and from what I gather, Lynn is maybe referring to the issue with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, but her question is, how can we expect a judicial and or a political process to deal with what is clear evil, and evil that can only be corrected by the righteousness of God? That's a question.
That's an excellent question. And the judiciary has already been established and assembled, a divine judiciary. And that is God, Allah himself, and his angels. And when I say angels, I don't mean the mythical, you know, human beings with eagle wings or chicken wings coming out of their backs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about human beings whom God uses and empowers with great power to carry out his will. No, the jury is already assembled, and the verdict is already in, guilty as charged. But as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said, the overriding attribute of Almighty God, Allah, is mercy. So he holds out mercy even to the enemy. But I must say, dear brother, it was a brother that asked this, correct? Or a man that asked this, correct?
Lynn is a sister.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, dear sister, please forgive me. But what is prophesied is that as long as we are unwilling to separate, we're going to continue to suffer these gross and clear injustices, and they're going to escalate in severity and regularity. And if you read the Bible and the Quran, you will see this is exactly what was said would happen to the children of Israel, because we're so hard-hearted, hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious. We're so tied to the enemy that we just refuse to let him go, although he's let us go. We must separate. And I'm not necessarily talking about initially physical separation, but definitely that ultimately. But, dear sister, we have to separate from the man's mindset. We have to separate from his culture, separate from his, you know, from his mores, his amorality and immorality. We have to separate from his unrighteousness, from his disobedience to God. We have to separate in the way we dress, in the way we eat, in the way we think. We have to separate from him. And unfortunately, dear sister, we want to hold on to him. We'll separate. until it infringes upon that in which we delight in that the enemy provides for us. Once it starts threatening the delights that the enemy has provided for us, then, you know, we kind of hesitate. Right? Yeah, I'm going to separate. But, you know, I like to party. I don't think anything wrong with that. I separate, but I'm a natural man. Of course, not talking about you, sister, but this is the mindset of us. I'll separate, but, you know, hey, I'm a natural man. And I got to have me a woman or women. I'll separate, but, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of fun once in a while, getting a little high, you know, a little fame. I'll separate, but for God's sakes, I got, you know, white folk got jobs. And I'm only going so far because I got to pay my bills. So we want some of the dust of the footprints of the messenger, as it says in the Quran, meaning as the footprint is that which symbolizes following or the path that the messenger treads. The Quran says we want some of the dust, just some of it. Meaning we'll put our foot down, but we're not going to fully follow him. So as long as we're in that mindset, we're going to suffer, dear sister. We're going to suffer. So when we become obedient, this is the short answer. I could have given the short answer. When we decide to be obedient to God and his messenger and separate from this enemy, come out of Babylon, we're going to suffer. And until then, it's going to, as I said, continue in severity and or escalate in severity and regularity.
Okay, yes, sir. And I did get a message back from Student Minister Tony, who said he will be on in 15 minutes. So in the meantime, I'm going to go and give the call-in audience an opportunity to ask a question. So area code 302, your mic is live.
Slipping, Brother James. Brother Nero.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved, and Ramadan Mubarak, dear brother.
How's Dr. Rain, brother? I just wanted to comment on all what you were saying about separation, too. I wanted to, I was thinking if maybe we would have listened to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he was preaching separation back in the 40s and the 50s. You think this would have been still going on, like today in 2013?
No, I don't think so. But the Muslims were more separate then than we are now.
I agree.
If you look at the history, you will see that no matter what was at stake in terms of our personal suffering, we took our children out of the enemy's schools. We were very, very industrious. We didn't live beyond our means so we could do that. We weren't trying to impress people with the fine cars and fine homes and fine jewelry and fine clothes. No. So we were more obedient then than we are now.
You know, I have noticed as well, too, if you look at some of our other brothers and sisters who stood up for us as well, too, from like maybe Marcus Garvey, even as so much as even Martin Luther King, he had changed his tune right before up until his assassination. If you look at a lot of the other brothers and sisters who stood up for us, in turn, they spoke of separation or even practiced separation themselves. And you figure that if all those brothers and sisters whom we say we love and whom we honor and whom we cherish and obey, they taught this. You know, those of us who say we love those people, should we not actually see that we should follow suit on what they may have taught too?
Absolutely, dear brother. But you must remember, every leader must walk the path of Jesus Christ. Everyone who sincerely rises up to lead us must suffer the same things that Jesus Christ suffers. Because we're walking in the path of a Savior.
Yes, sir.
And as the scripture says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I mean, we got to suffer that, dear brother. And every leader has to be willing to suffer the same. So Marcus Garvey, of course, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and others down the wheel of time. We have to suffer the same thing until the fullness of time when God says it's over.
Yes, sir.
When he says it's over, it's over. We must always remember that this is the Creator's nation, and as such, he's in control. He was in control, dear brother. So he knew, I mean, he could make us do exactly what he said. He can make us do that. You see?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Up to him. So he's allowing this recalcitrance, this rebellion, he's allowing it. And as long as he's allowing it, we have to deal with it.
Agreed,
you
brother.
What I'm saying?
This is that, brother. Yes, sir. Thank you for your insight, brother.
Your name, brother.
Yes, sir. Good to hear from you again, too, brother.
Oh, praise be to Allah. And good to hear from you, too, dear brother. And may Allah continue to bless you, man.
As well,
and your
too,
family.
Brother. Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum.
Look Islam.
Okay. And we're about 3 or 4 minutes before we are to schedule student Minister Tony on. So
okay.
I'm going to take one more question from Lawrence in the chat room. And Brother James, he says, where is Elijah Muhammad if he is physically alive? Many say he has a grave, but where is the evidence of physical life?
Well, let me say this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had asked that his body be exhumed so that he could prove he has the dentist of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who has his dental records, but yet their request for his body to be exhumed was not answered or fulfilled. So until we do that, then where he is, we don't necessarily know for sure. We have our ideas, but we know he's physically alive. You see, that question has to have a scriptural component to it. These things that are written, these statements that are written in Scripture regarding the resurrection, regarding the return of Christ, in the Holy Quran, it states, and they said they killed Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, but they did not. But it was made to appear to them. They didn't kill him nor crucified him, and Allah brought him or raised him up to himself. But they killed him not, but it was made to appear as such. And so there's a scriptural component that we must study if we sincerely want to make the argument that he's alive, or if we want to argue to the contrary. Because it's all in Scripture. Where he is physically right now, I'd be lying if I told you I knew. I just know he's alive.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Brother David said he was here first. Okay. Brother David says, at the end of the 52-week lecture, what will Minister Farrakhan's next mission be?
Oh, I don't know.
How do we know?
I don't know. That man is divinely guided by the Christ. I don't know what is in his mind. He may know what's in my mind, but I sure don't know what's in his mind. So I couldn't answer that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are still awaiting Brother Tony. So if you want to give us a talking point, Brother James.
Well, yes. I was trying to refrain from getting into the time and what must be done. I wanted our brother to take the lead and the point on that. But as I was listening, as I was studying that particular installment, I thought about Jonah. What an interesting story related to us about Jonah, and particularly in the Bible. He's in the Quran too. But did you all know that Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh? In fact, about it, in the Bible, he states he'd rather be dead. He tells God that I'd rather die than go there. And why? Because he knew the people of Jonah were wicked. He knew that his people had suffered abundantly under the hand of the people of Nineveh, but he also knew God's incomparable attribute, mercy. And he knew that once he preached to the king of Nineveh, the king of Nineveh would respond and the people would follow suit and they would escape judgment. They would escape destruction. And that's how many of us feel. I know I felt that way myself, you know. Kill them all, God, and do it quick. But I'm speaking out of pain and, of course, immaturity and ignorance. But that story, Jonah, is so beautiful because it talks about, it typifies you and me. It typifies us who want Allah's judgment to come right away. Not that the enemy doesn't deserve it, but we don't want him to have no mercy because we're in pain. And when we come into the love of our people and the knowledge of our people suffering and by who and at whose hand, we can't help but to want to call the destruction of the enemy down on his head. But Allah is merciful. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. And like Jonah, some of us, man, if God don't destroy this enemy wholesale and quickly, I don't want to check out of here. And I understand that. We don't want to live too much longer under this white supremacist rule, this diabolical, devilish, and satanic rule. I understand that. But we have to understand Allah's incomparable mercy. What a magnificent God. And there were scriptures, of course, that the minister read, very beautiful scriptures that indicate, you know, boy, I don't want to get into it because Minister Tony might want to read it. You know, he might want to discuss it. the talking point
okay, well,
that. Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. I was going to see if you want to take another question. I'm in the process of trying to get Student Minister Tony on the phone now.
Yes, I will, by the grace of Allah. Yeah.
Okay, Kathy says, separation is a nice thought, but when we separate with all of our knowledge, how good is that without resources?
That's an excellent point. And that was Sister Kathy?
Yes, Sister Kathy.
Excellent point, Sister Kathy. And this is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote on the back page of the Muhammad Speaks, now called the final call, in point number 4, he stated, we want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe, now this addresses your concern, my dear sister, we believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. However, if the enemy decides I'm not giving them Negroes nothing, pardon my usage of that language, then we, dear Sister Kathy, get over $1 trillion a year out of the American economy. It comes into our hands, it flows immediately out of our hands, but it comes into our hands. That's the point. And Savior's Day 2013, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan reintroduced the economic blueprint from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's economic program, wherein he asked, if black people, those of us who are working and have some income, can just sacrifice a nickel a day, 35 cents a week. That would give us hundreds of millions of dollars in the first year and multiplied exponentially in the years to come with just a nickel of sacrifice a week or a day. Put that in a national bank. And we could provide any resource that we need to supplement our separation, to finance our separation. It's just, are we willing to do it? Are we willing to set aside that nickel, as infinitesimal and negligible amount as it may be and is? The question is, are we willing to sacrifice, put it in a national bank, and use that to finance our separation? So you make an excellent point, dear sister. But the point is, the reality is we're going to have to, whether we want to or not. Because the enemy don't have any jobs for us. And those that he has, he really, really, really does not want us to have them. And you can't blame him. How are we going to get upset with the man because he wants to give his cousin, his father, his son, his nephew the job, how unqualified they may be? You should have given it to me. For what? And if we would think like that, our own first before others, then we would have the finance for our separation. So, yes, we need resources, dear sister. You're absolutely right. You got them. And, Sister Kathy, I don't know you, but I'd venture to say that you may spend a nickel or more on something you really don't need that you could set aside that would not hurt you. You can set aside a nickel a day. I'm sure you could. Well, multiply yourself by the 40 million or the working portion of the 40 million. If we all did that. See, you know, Hosea said, our people, my people, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He didn't say for the lack of money. Jesus said in the Revelations 2 and 9, he said, I know your poverty, but you are rich. Well, what was he alluding to? The only reason why we're poor is because we're disunited because of the lack of knowledge. So it's not that we need more dollars as such. We just need more sense. So she makes an excellent point. Thank you for your question, Sister Catherine.
Yes, sir. And by the grace of Allah, we are blessed with our dear brother, Student Minister Tony Muhammad from our Western region. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Student Minister Tony Muhammad. How are you, sir?
Wa alaikum salam. I'm thanking Allah for life and giving me another day to serve our nation and our God.
That's right.
What a wonderful, wonderful month of Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak to all the Muslims that are listening and those who are soon to be Muslims that are listening.
All praises be to Allah. And Ramadan Kareem, beloved. Wonderful to hear your voice.
Oh, yes, sir.
I have been anxiously awaiting your arrival so that we could get into the 29th installment. And whatever, of course, you want to bring to the people in the way of information and inspiration, the time and what must be done, Allah's incomparable mercy. Now, I've been talking for the last 1 hour and 15 minutes, Brother Minister, and I'd certainly like to relinquish this microphone to you.
Well, Brother James, I thank you, and I'm sorry I was on a nation assignment, and this has been quite a week for me. I mean, I've been in and out of meetings all day, every day, after a wonderful victory out here in Los Angeles that we had Sunday. Of which I've talked to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan a couple of times this week, man, and just the things that Allah is blessing us to do as a result of part 23 of the time and what must be done. He said that we have to do whatever we could to unite with other organizations and go after our children and save them from the wrath of the enemy and his plans.
Yes, sir.
And know that last year, in this same month of July, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan himself led the FOI into the streets of Chicago while simultaneously he had his student ministers and captains around this country in 162 cities taken to the streets of America to go back into the boroughs, to go back into the hoods, and to go to every nook and cranny where our people were suffering and ask us to go back and embrace them, to save them, to be an example of men who have changed our life from a wretched condition, from a lifestyle of ill repute. Those men who did not fall down from heaven, but he told us, the men who grew upright in hell but found the word and found that word coming through him, that we believe that man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is anointed and appointed by God in this hour, that we could find refuge, that we could find rest, and that we could find knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and through him, he would get us out of this rough condition that we find ourselves in in this wilderness called North America. And so in Los Angeles, not only did the FOI take to the streets and walk the streets, the various hoods, we touched nearly 385 different what is called gang sets. And as a result of hitting every hood, it evolved that other men start joining us. Other gang intervention organizations join us. Other pastors start joining us. And at a particular time, I was riding home one day, and these motorcycles passed by me, at least 50 to 75 black bikers rode by me. And when I saw that, a thought came to me, what if I could get them? Because when they rode by me, I saw metal horsemen. And I said, what if I could get them brothers to join on with us? Because in California, we have decent weather all year round, and the motorcycles, both Harleys and sports bikes, are big. And when the youth see these bikers ranging in ranks and coming by the 50s and the 70s, they go out of their head to see that kind of precision riding. And, well, I went and I approached some of the biking clubs, and I ran into something in approaching them, and I asked them, I said, look, brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have us in the streets trying to save our babies, and I would love to have you all's help. And I see y'all riding these bikes, and I would love for the Harleys and the sports bikes to join us, and I was with some Harley riders. The Harley riders looked at me with this disdain look on their face, and I couldn't quite make out what it was. And I'm like, did I say something wrong? And the Harley riders said, man, we don't ride with sports bikes. And I said to myself, damn, we banging on motorcycles too? And I petitioned them. I said, brother, but don't you think it's time that you ride for something bigger than yourself? I said, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan united us. He was told that he could not get a million to show up in D.C., but God blessed him with 2 million. And here I am. Sir. I'm just his little servant. I'm not him. But I'm coming to you in his name, and I'm asking you, let's attempt to do it. And they looked at me again, and they shook their head, and I said, I tell you what. Because I've never ridden a bike in my life. I said, what if I learn how to ride motorcycles? Will you all roll with me? And they looked at me, you, Minister Tony, going to learn to ride? I said, I'll learn and let you teach me if you all just allow me to show you something bigger than yourself. These group of bikers were sports bikers, and I went off to learn to ride the bike. And in 3 days, I learned to ride a motorcycle. And I went back to the club. And when I went back to the motorcycle clubs, I came on a bike, and brother, they went crazy. They could not believe that I had learned to ride a bike in such short period of time. I mean, I wasn't proficient, but I could ride good enough to ride up to their club. And when they saw that, their family, you know, because in the back of my mind, I have in my mind, I want to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan save our youth. And when you see the youth involved in something, you have to find a way to unite them. So riding a bike is a language. So our lessons say we must speak the language of the people.
That's right.
And so when I pulled up to this club, these cats went off, and that went from one thing to the next. The first ride we had nearly 75 bikers. It was mostly sports bikes at that time. And then the second ride, we had 100 bikes. And then a man by the name of Pastor Powell, he's a Christian biker. He heard about what I was attempting to do, and he met with me. And when he asked me some fundamental questions about Jesus and Christianity and Islam, and after answering this man's questions and pointing to him, a man who I thought is reflecting the teachings of Jesus, that brother said, "You know, brother, you've said enough to where," and when I said to him that Jesus said that he had followers that was not of this fold.
Come on, Dad.
And I said, "Brother, there is not a Muslim on this planet that not only do we believe in Jesus, but we believe in following his example, and we believe that in the last day, God and Christ will return." He said, "Brother, you got me." And the next ride we had, the third month, because we do one ride every month, and the third month, this brother brought 100 Harleys that took us up to 250 Harleys. The word got out through the biking scenes, and brother, every month we rode up to the eighth month. We was adding on bikes, but in the eighth month. Now, mind you, Harleys and sports bikes didn't ride together, but I learned to ride both a Harley and a sports bike. So 1 month I would ride a sports bike. The next month I would ride a Harley. And when we was riding, we were passing out the Million Man March Pledge and this little non-religious pamphlet that called The Way to Happiness. Brother, in 8 months, we passed out nearly 100,000 Million Man March Pledge. We had black bikers, Latino bikers, Asian bikers, white bikers, all passing out the Million Man March Pledge.
All praise be due to Allah.
And we literally put hundreds, and we would ride into the area where there had been recent shootings and recent murders. And when we would roll up in the hood, sports bikes and a Harley, the gangbangers were gone. They couldn't believe it because out here, everybody know that sports bikes and Harleys wouldn't ride together. And when the sports bikers and the Harleys saw how the gang members responded, tears came from their eyes and they said, "Minister Tony, you told us that this would happen." They couldn't believe that we were riding together and they run to the bikes. And now that force, the Harleys and the sports bikers found a way to unite. By the time we got to the 8 month, family, the lowriders had gotten word. Low riding in Los Angeles is big. That's these cars that have hydraulics on them, and sometimes some of them seem like they can bounce 14 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
They are some of the, these guys are no joke. And you know, the lowriders have been attributed to negative stereotypes that in lowriders, people do drive by, but that's furthest from the truth in the lowrider scene. So the sports bikes and the Harleys didn't want to invite the lowriders. So I had to convince them again, this is about unity. We got to save our children, and they admire you all. So they allowed us to do it. And the first ride we had 200 lowriders that showed up. Now we got 500 bikers, 200 to 300 lowriders, the FOI are the foot troopers, and we hitting these gang areas, brother, and it took off like hotcakes, culminating to a United in Peace Day, to where I went on the radio now, and we called all bikers, all lowriders, on Sunday to ride for peace, and we rode in the name of Trayvon Martin, but we
Come
also
on,
rode in the name of 25,000 youth in Los Angeles. In 15 years, there's been 25,000 murders in L.A. County, family.
Mm.
By us, not by no white man. And I said, we have to kill the apathy. If we can have an outcry when somebody white comes in and kill us, where is our voices? Where is our fists in the air when we do it to each other? Why is there silence? Why is it acceptable among us, but we won't accept nobody else to do it? And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that's a void we got to fill. So we went into effect after Trayvon Martin. In L.A., we didn't do a whole bunch of no justice, no peace, going downtown to a federal building on a Saturday, ain't nobody in it, yelling at a building.
Mm-hmm.
The black community and brown community heard about our next ride. And, brother, when we made that call, and by the grace of Allah, inshallah, you all will see a film clipping of this next Tuesday on the Nation of Islam national webcast. Brother James and family, look, we had, it was so many bikes and so many lowriders, so many Corvettes, so many mini bikes. This ride was so long that it stretched for over 5 miles.
Yes, sir.
And the Los Angeles Police Department, the Inglewood Police Department, Long Beach Police Department, it was so huge that they gave us a presidential escort. And we rode from Magic Johnson's Park and we went through 5 cities and came back to Magic Johnson's Park where over 10,000 people was waiting for us when we got back.
All praise is due to Allah.
And as the bikes was rolling in the park, we had a beautiful stage set up with a jumbotron screen. And the first thing that came up on the screen, over 10,000 people retook the Million Man March pledge with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from a DVD leading the pledge. You wasn't a dry eye in the house as black people, white people, Latino, and Asians all took that pledge. The most remarkable thing we saw. And then we invited over 1,000 people who lost their families to gang violence came up to the stage. And we ran pictures of some of the 25,000 victims. And this showed this year we ran the name of 315 murders that took place in L.A. on that screen. And we prayed to the people and turned to the east and we start shouting, Chicago, we feel your pain. New York, we feel your pain. Jersey, we feel your pain. Atlanta, we called out. I mean, you could. The park was roaring, and they put it on Fox, on NBC, ABC, CBS. We had performances by Stanley Clark, Overdose, all of the local artists, Cam the Artist, and it was so huge that the Congresswoman, Janice Hahn, gave us a proclamation. 5 mayors showed up and gave the nation a proclamation because every time we've done this ride, every month, the next month, crime dropped by nearly 15 to 20% crime drop. And they have awarded the nation with our walks and these rides that single-handedly have brought crime down in nearly 5 cities by 15%. And that was the victory. Because the minister said, unite and go and get our babies, and Allah blessed us to do that. And when I reported it to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I could hear the sigh of relief, and it was as if, you know, he was crying in happiness that, wow, brother, that was the mosque. The mosque is not a building. The church is not a building. He said, the mosque and the church got to take place now in the streets. Because the youth ain't coming to no mosque and they ain't coming to no church, so go to them.
That's right.
And those mothers, brother, were so happy that Minister Farrakhan and the nation thought about them and not just Trayvon's mother. And 80% of the murders, they said, at least Miss Martin, Trayvon's mother, at least she know who her son's murderer is. But in L.A., 80% of the murders are unsolved. These mothers don't even know who murdered their son. And they say, ain't a Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. None of them have given us a hug. None of you come to us when we lose our children. But the nation came, and the nation united others, and they came. Brother, it was, man, this thing was so big. It blew us away, and we had at least 20 different warring gangs who came together that day and laid down their rags and embraced each other. So God, by the grace of God, we started a peace movement, and we announced on that day that by this time next year, we're going to take these bikers and lowriders and car clubs, and we're going to ride from Los Angeles to Chicago picking up bikers along the way, and our goal is to ride into Chicago next year with nothing less than 75,000 bikers. But we will hit 14 cities on our way into Chicago that we will reconnect the black man and the brown man and reconnect our pain and unite us and go to Soldier Field and hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. People, I mean, it's all over social media. Congress now want us to come to Congress. A congresswoman called me and said, Minister Tony, we would like for you to come to Congress and brief us because you all have brought crime down. And I said, I'm not interested in coming to Congress to do no briefing if you want to temper our message. If you're going to tell us who we can and cannot associate with, you can't separate me from my leader, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. If that's what you want, then that's a briefing we ain't interested in. And I'm being honest.
I said,
we don't need Congress. Congress need us.
Now, that's fantastic, Brother Minister. I'm very excited about it. I want to get the participating audience involved. But as we said last week when we were exhorting the listening audience to go to your website, I was so impressed and moved by the film clips of those mothers expressing their pain and their concern about the focus being on Trayvon Martin. But what about them, as you said, the silent sufferers, those that the media doesn't talk about, you know? Brother, I exhorted the people to go to your website to experience that film clip, to look at what you were doing and the brothers were doing in Los Angeles. But listen, I want to get them involved, brother. This is very, very exciting. So if you don't mind, Queen Aziza, are there any in queue or online that wish to address the minister?
No, not at this time. I think everybody's just sitting over here like me, trying to be quiet, cheering, and, of course, holding in my heart congratulations for your efforts through the Minister Tony. There are no questions at this time, but let me remind the audience that if you're on the phone, you can press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll take your question. And the rest of you in the chat room, if you have a question for Student Minister Tony, please type in your questions. Those of you who are on Google and Yahoo chat, type in your questions. And, of course, Student Minister Tony will accommodate you and answer your questions. But not at this time, sir.
Very good. I'm sure they're really mesmerized, as I am, dear brother. But by all means, go ahead. Go right on.
Well, let me just say, brothers and sisters, you know, it is the time and what must be done. And the minister said to me that, brother, what you all are doing by uniting bikers, lowriders, gang intervention, the mothers who've lost their children to gang violence, he said that in the death of Trayvon's death, have given life to the wind that's blowing on the dry bones. He said, what we are witnessing through the effort that Allah is blessing you all to do is the dry bones now coming together. And from those bones will come an exceedingly great army. And we are doing another videotape that we will have up on our website soon. And when you see this endless lines of bikes and people running to the streets on the sidewalk, throwing up the fist sign and the peace sign, you know, it's just remarkable. And Stevie Wonder on KJLH have said that he is going to get behind this march, and he wants to help make sure that it goes across the country. He said it's the best thing he's ever seen, and his radio station is dedicated now. They're running commercials already for our next month's ride to make sure that we double the attendance. I'm telling you, you all, all we have to do is our people are ready. See? The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And all
That's
we
right.
have to do is get out and go, and they see unity. And you could, I mean, what, not one incident on that day. The police officers who was escorting us, so many people ran to the sidewalk I'm talking about literally hundreds on this 15 to 20 mile ride we did through the roughest areas of L.A. And police officers had tears coming down their eyes. They were so happy that unity was on such a level that day that the police officers said, "Minister Tony, not only are you all uniting the bikers and the lowriders and the gangs, we have never worked in conjunction with other law enforcement officers the way you got us doing today. You're uniting us too."
Beautiful.
It's just a powerful thing, family, you know, and to tap into something and to show every mother who have lost their life. And we got to be just as angry when we kill us as we are when someone else step in to kill us. You know, and that's what we attempted to do, and we tapped into something. And the civil rights leaders who saw this, now, I just left meetings earlier today, and I mean, it's been one meeting after another. When CNN want to talk to us about how did we do this, see? How do you all get the interest of black people when they was there and they saw those gang members? One white lady said, "The Nation of Islam have the greatest ethnic presence I've ever seen. When you see them, you know you safe." I'm okay.
Well, this is wonderful, Brother Minister. And while, you know, we anxiously await those of us who are members of the Nation of Islam and as such privy to witness that film clip, to view that film clip on Tuesday. There are many, 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 many others, of course, who are unregistered, I would say, members of the Nation of Islam, who I'm sure would like to view it themselves. I'd like, if you would, dear brother, to give some advice, some strategic methodology, whatever you can offer that would inspire the people, and you are inspiring us, but I mean how to go about it, whether that information is forthcoming, how this kind of organization, this kind of movement can be replicated and reproduced in every city, regardless to who's at the helm of leadership, whether they're Christian, Muslim, or agnostic, whatever they hail to be. If you can offer us some guidance in that, Brother Minister, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the guidance that I got came from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, what we're doing in Los Angeles, actually, brother, you're talking about, I've been in L.A. for 19 years. And in truth, this has been a culmination of things that I've been doing since I've been here. Allah has blessed me, number one, to have the trust of many of those called gangs, because I have never came to them in the name of help and then turn around and betray them.
Yes, sir.
See? So you can't be one who come to them in the name of help to betray them. And your word have to be your bond. And they cannot feel that you are trying to use them to lift yourself or catapult yourself. You better be about what you say you are about.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to feel that you truly care, because it took me years of nurturing relationships with them, because it's like Jesus say in the scripture that all that came before us was robbers and thieves.
That's right.
And they've seen many do protests and get the numbers and use them, and the next thing you know, throw them to the side. Now they got a TV show. Now they got a radio show. Now they getting money from the same people that they were protesting.
Yes, sir, beloved.
And what I did, brother, I did as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that I should do. He said, "Brother, you have to go and say you'll give your life for your word, that you would never betray your people. And whatever your intentions are, let it be known up front." And that's what I've done for 19 years, you know. And I've worked and massaged relationship with Christian pastors, because we have nearly 50, 60. Now I got to meet on next week with about 180 pastors who want to find a way to unite with us to take to the streets to help get our babies. Now, it takes, if you are Muslim and a minister or anybody in leadership, you got to be like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You can't do this with an ego.
That's
and
right.
You got to ask Allah to expand your breasts and allow others to help you. That if you want this to just be a Nation of Islam thing, you will not be successful. But you will get the credit.
Come on, beloved.
I watched the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan do the Million Man March. And Brother James, you and I know there were many who didn't help him. In fact, told him it wouldn't work. But the day of the march, they all showed up.
Absolutely.
Some of us didn't want none of them Negroes to speak, but not our
leader.
That's
right. That's right.
He said, stand down, brother. I care nothing about they didn't have faith. These are icons. I'm making room for them. Go ahead and speak, brother. Go speak to your people. He was not envious or jealous of none of their talents.
That's right.
And I've tried to live my Islamic life like that. It is not a preacher or an organizer in L.A. that have nothing that I want. All I want to see is the unity that Minister Farrakhan asked me to attempt to do in L.A. He said, brother, when you put people on your shoulder, and if you lift me, I will draw all men and women nigh unto you. And I've tried to do that. So if you're going to do this, you better lift the man that most people in this country that are black trust, and that's Minister Farrakhan, and they'll trust you and me if they see us lifting him.
That's right.
And not just lifting him that his work, his name come out of your mouth every 5 minutes, but your heart is far removed from him. These
on,
people
brother.
Can see your heart. Can you fool a Muslim? Not nowadays.
No.
Well, how many Muslims are there in North America? At that time, a little bit over 17 million. Brother, these dudes in the street will read you like a scanner at a store and get your number every time.
Yes, sir.
I don't play with our people, brother, and we ain't doing this for money, and we ain't doing this to be seen because we had no press in the first 10 months. And by the time they showed up, it was already big. We had already brought crime down. So you don't do this to get on TV or be in the press. That ain't what this is about. Go save our people. We don't give a damn if CNN, CBS, ABC never record what we're doing. Allah God records it.
That's right, beloved.
So make sure you have the right relationships and envy no man or woman because of their talent and make room in your assembly. And then I'll be putting together a very special package because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when we take this across the country, we're going to leave California and hit Houston and then from Houston to New Orleans. And from New Orleans, we're going to come through Tampa. And from Tampa to Atlanta, Atlanta to Charlotte, Charlotte to D.C., D.C. to Philly, Philly to Jersey, Jersey to New York, then Cincinnati, then Cleveland, then Detroit, and descend into Chicago.
Man, that's fantastic.
Oh, brother.
I'm glad you mentioned Tampa, beloved. The student minister and I were discussing the plans to bring you into Tampa, and I'd like to discuss that with you, not necessarily on these airways at this time.
Sure.
I just want to give you a heads up, beloved, and
sure.
We want to give you a platform to share what you have been doing over the years and what it has culminated to at this point. And so we want to, in other words, we just want to reproduce it.
Yes, sir.
And many of that
we
are of sincere heart, Brother Minister, but we just don't, for some reason, have the methodology. There are some who are inspired. They know what the minister wants. They know what the minister has ordained or ordered. However, this takes an anointing. And many of us, though our hearts are desirous, Brother Minister, we lack the anointing to do it, which by all indications, you are blessed with some inspiration, did but we talk about that at another time. That's in fact into the last 15 minutes of this show. I tell you, the thing that I so greatly admire and appreciate, Brother Minister, is the practical application and manifestation of the spiritual guidance that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is giving us. And I have to say, with what I've already been privy to, and I don't know a lot regarding exactly what you have been doing over the years in L.A., but from what I have been privy to, it is the manifestation of the practical application of the spiritual guidance that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is giving us all. And I'm so admiring of it, dear brother, and greatly appreciative of it, and hope and pray that Allah will bless me to be a part of that movement, and perhaps I can maybe get a few drops of that anointing that Allah has blessed you so bountifully with.
Well, all
thank you, Brother Minister.
You're welcome, dear brother. You know, we have to bask in the light while the light is still among us, so that when Allah takes the light away from us and He exalts that light, that we become children of the light. That means, Brother James, and to our family, whether you're Muslim or Christian, we have to be like Paul. We have to die daily. We have to kill passions and get rid of vanity and allow ourselves to be used by Allah. And more importantly, do nothing seeking gain.
That's right.
See?
That's
but
right.
Do it because you know it's what Allah wants. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, and things will come. See, you can't do no better service than serving people. Because when people fall in love with you, when people trust you, when people know that you are what you say you are, then the people's bank never come back insufficient fund, nor does it come insufficient love, or nor does it come back insufficient protection. The people will protect you. The people will make sure you want for nothing. See? And that's what I have. Any advice on anyone who thinks, because this is not an easy undertaking. We ain't got the Honorable Minister of Louis Farrakhan's spirit. And I believe many of us do, brother. All we have to do is bow on faith. But those of you who would like to see some of what's happening with these peace rides, you can go to UpFest, UPFEST, UpFest.org. And we're going to be putting more pictures up, and we're going to be putting more DVDs. We got so much footage over the 10 rides that we've been doing, and we're going to put together a how-to. And you'll get a chance to hear from the bikers, to hear from the lowriders, to hear from the gangbangers as to what this means to them. You'll get a chance to hear from the entertainers and those who are coming to put money into this to make sure that we take this across the country. So, again, you can go to upfest.org, 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 and just click on and look at the website, look at the rides, and if it please Allah, those that are in the nation, you will get a chance to see a video clipping of what took place on Sunday. We had a 5-mile caravan of motorcycles and cars, and you had the Muslims leading. I'm riding a Harley on that day with an orange bow tie, and when the color is orange, is our color, because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that in the last day you would see the sun rising from the west. And orange also represents a new beginning. See? Take off the old man and woman and put on a new man and woman. So from the gang capital of the world, inshallah, We want to shine a light back east.
And say, yes, sir.
Come on, Houston. Come on, Tampa. Come on, Miami. Come on, New York. Come on, Atlanta. Let's start a movement in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and in the name of our people. And let's stop the killing of us by us and raise up in these urban cities an army of people who are ready to unite black people so that we stop begging white people from the crumbs that fall off of their tables and build our own tables and become more civilized. No matter if you ever come in the nation or not, let our blackness be that thing which unite us and our suffering. And from there, brother, the world will start moving when the black man and woman in America stand up. They follow us already in wickedness. They'll follow
that's
us right. In righteousness if that's where we turn. See? So set your face to your religion being upright.
Come on, brother minister. All
that's
praise
what we have to
our life.
Turn back to the east and kiss the sun and kiss the direction from which we came. See? Oh, yeah, brother. These dry bones is shaking. They ready. They just don't
yes,
want to follow no they don't want to follow no fake and false leaders.
That's right.
See? And we can't be no bourgeoisie Muslims hanging out in the mosque in a 1,600 square feet building or a 2,200 square feet building or a 5,000 square foot building when Master Farad Muhammad gave you the deed to the mosque. And it's 196,940,000 square miles. How dare you hang in a building? You should go
come
in that
on,
building
beloved.
And plug up to the source of light and get your spiritual batteries charged up and go in the streets and get the wild and the worst of our people. See? So, hey, brother, we're in the last day. We better save as many of our people because God is going to require their blood. On the hand, if you're a Christian and you ain't saving nobody, God is going to require the blood of those that are sinning on your hand. It's not enough for us to become righteous and we don't go help someone else to become righteous. Your
that's
righteousness
right.
in the face of Allah is a good for nothing righteousness. How can you say you be saved and can't save? If you can't save nobody, you ain't damn saved at all.
That's right.
And I'm talking to Muslims and Christians that
yes,
I'm on
sir.
This line. I'm
yes,
a Christian
sir.
Too. I'm crystallizing to the oneness of God by following the examples of Jesus and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I'm not where I want to be. I'm a sinner in repair.
Huh.
And I'm working off my sin so that Allah will say on that day, well pleased with you. Hell, I don't know, but I'm going to work as hard as I can so when I face him, and fall to my face and on my knees and beg for forgiveness, I hope he tell me to go stand on the X and not go stand in the circle.
Come on, beloved. Now, that's wonderful. Well, it's 10:53. Queen Aziza, is there anyone that wants to make a comment as time is running away with us? We got about 7 more minutes to the show. We want to leave a couple of more minutes. If there are any announcements other than what we have already been blessed with from Minister Tony, we want to certainly extend those few minutes to him. But is there anyone that may want to say something?
Well, in the chat room, Zachary, he wants to know if it's possible that Student Minister Tony can give him some dates of when they'll be coming across the country. I know he mentioned the tour, but I don't know if you gave a specific date, Brother Tony.
No, we're working on that as we speak. That is a huge undertaking. And
mm-hmm.
we got Congress people. We got, you know, we got big sponsors coming through. We got a lot of entertainers and athletes. That's going to be a huge undertaking. So we're not going to even try that until next summer. So the date and the cities probably won't come up until January of 2014.
Yes, sir.
But every fourth Sunday in the L.A. area, we ride every Sunday. And it's getting big. And we're up to now over 10. The next time we ride, we go to the park. Our goal is about January to have 100,000 people coming out to the park where we ride. And gave out over 6,000 flyers with the minister's picture on and the time and what must be done and telling the people to go listen to his broadcast. People were asking us, where's the in Compton? Where's the mosque in L.A.? Our attendance in L.A. have quadrupled since we've been doing these rides.
Huh. Yes,
you
sir.
Know, we have brothers and sisters in the processing class. We ain't never had these size processing class before.
Yes, sir.
Even white people are knocking at the door. We come in? Not yet.
Come on, brother.
You know, where should I go? Church of Scientology.
That's fair.
Not here, not yet. But they're riding, brother. Telling you to see white people doing the Million Man March Pledge and passing out the minister's Million Man March Pledge on a beautiful card. Man, it's breathtaking. It's I said, man, we ain't got no issues with this. Beautiful thing. So, thank you, dear brother. I'm sorry I got on late, but you know I was on a special assignment.
Absolutely.
And always an honor, dear brother, to be on with and our family. I'm on so many blog shows and radio shows now, I don't know what day is half the time. But, man, I just love to serve. I love to do whatever I can with whatever spirit Allah gives me to share it. You know, because when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan ascends and goes to his father for healing, we're going to have to be tight, 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 tight.
That's right.
Tight, brothers and sisters, man. So thank you all so very much. And I look forward to coming to the Tampa area or any other city that's listening to this broadcast. You know, it'd be my honor to come to your area if time permits.
Praise be to Allah,
yes,
Brother Minister.
Sir, and Brother Tony, I'm sorry, I have a question from Hassan. Is there anything going on in the San Diego area? Are you planning to go to San Diego anytime soon?
December.
Okay. Okay.
We
Thank
plan
you.
To take 10,000 bikers to San Diego. And then January, we're going up to the Bay.
Okay.
But
well,
Minister,
I'll just be glad when you come to Houston, because when you come to Houston, I'm riding.
Well, come on and ride, sister. Let me tell you.
Oh, you know
least,
I ride. I'm
least,
a Harley girl. Yes, sir.
Yeah, at least 300 of the riders with us was females. They got some of the most beautiful bikes you'll ever want to see. Pink,
yes,
lavender, orange. Oh, man, we had a ball.
Yes, sir.
Brother Minister, what I am requesting is that for those who would be interested in bringing you to their city,
yes.
Is there any information you can give, contact information you can give out where they can reach you?
I give out my email. My email address is mintony, MINTONY, LA, 27, at AOL.com. That's mintony, like minister, but short. Mintony, LA, 27, at AOL.com. Or on Twitter, Bruh Tony Muhammad, B-R-O, Tony Muhammad, at Bruh, B-R-O, Tony Muhammad.
And Brother Tony, can you give us the web address one more time? Because it's got
the
web address.
It's upfest.org, UPFEST. Upfest, UPFEST, est.org.
Okay. Well, all praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Minister.
And those who email me, well, you could go on UpFest, and it has all kind of pictures on UpFest. And we were given a congressional proclamation, and on that proclamation, the congresswoman put the Million Man March pledge as a tool that has helped to drop crime. That's the first time the Million Man March has been mentioned on a congressional document in a favorable
wow.
way.
All praises be to Allah. This is fantastic.
Well,
but
Brother Tommy,
I
just
want
to tell you that we appreciate all of your hard
yes.
work, and we appreciate the example that you are setting for all of us. But more than anything, we appreciate everything that you're doing to save our children. I am from LA. I know what that community is like. And so any decrease in crime and any saving of life is vital to our future and to our community. So a original salute to you, soldier. And brother, we thank Allah for you and for your 19 years of service in that area and all that you have done for Los Angeles and my home, Mosque number 27. Thank you so, so very much, sir.
You're welcome, prodigal daughter.
Okay, just due to Allah.
Thank
so,
you, our family, and thank you to
the
beautiful
minister.
Believers and listeners. Thank you all. Let's pray for each other. Let's go out and not doubt. Don't have no doubt, man. Don't doubt nothing. This will be the greatest Ramadan because after this, we're going to take off and help the minister save our people and then the known world. So
thank you. Right. All praise be to Allah. Well, Queen, do you have some announcements to make before we go off the air?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Well, speaking of youth, join us tomorrow right here at 8 p.m. Central on Young, Gifted, and Black as we present an evening with Student Minister Demetric Muhammad, and we're going to have a panel of youth questioners who are going to question Student Minister Demetric Muhammad on the history of the Nation of Islam. So that's right here tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central. And, of course, join us on Sunday with our host, Brother Vernon Muhammad, at 6:30 p.m. on No Romance Without Finance as he talks about economic development and doing for self. On Monday at 8 p.m. Central, join us for Conscious Black Nation, hosted by our beloved brother Kareem Muhammad out of St. Louis, Missouri. And on Tuesday, we're going to have a rebroadcast because I think that's the Believers meeting. And, of course, our beloved brother, Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. Let's uplift him in prayer as he is in the hospital having a second surgery. But Allah is God, and Brother Jihad is doing fine, and we'll be looking to hear from him in a couple of weeks. And, of course, join us on Wednesday with DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 p.m. Central for our hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, I will be back live. I know I've been doing a couple of rebroadcasts, but I've been taking care of my daughter. She's fine. All praises due to Allah. I'm going home, finally, and I'll be back with the live show on Thursday. We're going to talk about the death of Malcolm Shabazz. And on Friday, of course, Brother James, we'll be right back here with you on Put on the New Man, our live study group. And that's our lineup for the rest of the week.
And thank you, dear sister. And thank you, Brother Minister. And thank you, our beloved and faithful listening and participating audience. May Allah bless us all with a wonderful observation of Ramadan and its completion. And may Allah bless us thereafter with a wonderful and bountiful life. So as I greet you and leave you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. One nation, one love, y'all. Good night.